1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. A familiar passage to most of us, if not all of us.
And, of course, this is the classic passage that's dealing with the return of our Savior. To take the church on to heaven in this passage. And some theologians call it the premillennial, pre-tribulational return of Christ for the church. We call it the rapture. And that word, of course, is not used in this passage in English, but it is mentioned in Latin. So we'll go over that. We'll cover that in a few minutes. But many unsaved non-Christian people have mocked and ridiculed the rapture of the church for years. I remember years ago I read a newspaper column. The columnist said he'd be glad to get rid of all these fundamentalist Christians at the rapture. You know, if the Lord comes, he'll be glad. And I was thinking to myself, I'll be glad to leave here and leave you behind there, buddy. You know. But maybe that fellow will get saved someday. You know. Who knows? But for us as Christians, as believers, the return of the Lord gives us hope for the future. It gives us comfort for the present. And we're going to go through this passage, and if you notice, it's like a crescendo. It starts off in verse 13, and in verse 18, it ends on a wonderful, uplifting note. So we'll start reading at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? They really are. And in verse 13, at the beginning of the passage, the Apostle Paul makes a comment. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And, you know, I've always thought one of the problems with the church today is ignorant brethren. And, you know, that was a little humorous remark. You may not have caught that. But there are people, there are Christians who say, you know, if you talk to them about the rapture of the church, the return of Christ for it, to take the Christians home to heaven, and they'll give you this quizzical look, and they'll say, well, is that in the Bible? Well, yeah, it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Really? and it's amazing the ignorance of true believers, of professed true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would either brush this passage off, not consider it important, or think, well, it's just another Bible passage. I'll just read it and pass on. The doctrine of the pre-tribulational return of Christ, and that's what we believe here at Northgate Chapel, that Jesus Christ is going to come before the seven-year tribulation, and we'll talk more about that tonight as we consider chapter 5. But the Lord Jesus has said and promised that he will come back again. That is a promise from the mouth of the Son of God himself, that he is coming back. And in verse 13, Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. It's kind of like saying, I have something I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ in Thessalonica. I have something I want to tell you concerning them which are asleep. Now, sleep is a metaphor for death regarding Christians, Christians that have died or considered asleep. And, you know, a person that's asleep, at some point in the future, they're going to wake up again. And this is what's going to happen, and we'll discuss that as we go along. But the Christians here, or Paul refers to the dead believers, dead Christians, as being asleep in verse 13, and concerning them which have died, that ye sorrow not. That ye sorrow not. So you will not continue to grieve as others do. Paul was concerned about the Christians in Thessalonica,
But they were worried, and the Christians, Thessalonian Christians were worried. They were concerned about the death of their loved ones who had died and gone on to heaven. Well, what's going to happen to them? We don't know what's going to happen. They've died and gone to heaven, but what's going to happen after that? And Paul is addressing that in this chapter, in 1 Thessalonians. And he's saying in verse 13, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, the unsaved, non-Christian, they don't have any hope for the future. There will be a resurrection for them at some point in time, but it will be a resurrection in which they will be cast into the lake of fire. You know, that's the, in that great event, you read that in Revelation chapter 20 about the great white throne judgment, when all the Christ rejectors, the people who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, are standing before the Lord Jesus himself, giving account for their lives, and he will cast them into the lake of fire. How horrible, how terrible that is. And Paul is saying that they have no hope. They have no hope. You know, I've been to a funeral, and maybe you have too, of people who are not saved or not Christians, not believers. And the horrible grief, the sadness, the pain that's involved in something like that. That their loved one, this relative, which they're remembering, is lying in the casket there. They're thinking in their own minds, did my relative and my loved one, did they have any hope at all for eternal life? Do I have any hope for eternal life? Maybe they were asking themselves that question. But Paul is saying here in verse 13, but I have something to tell you, brethren, and concerning the Christians that are dead, but that you do not sorrow. Please don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Paul is exhorting them not to sorrow. And he goes on into verse 14. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There is a progression in this passage, starting with verse 13, verse 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And you'll notice it as we go along, that Paul follows one event with another event. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I can count to 8 at least. But, you know, there's a progression in here that we can readily see in each verse. And verse 13, verse 14, Paul progresses to the point where he's talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, for if we believe that Jesus died, since our Savior has died, we have a hope for the future. We can be sure that we will be resurrected. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and so will we be at a time in the future. And that word hope, you know, Brother Jack mentioned that at the Lord's Supper this morning. It was interesting. The word hope means a sure expectation. It's something that we know in our heart that will occur beyond a shadow of a doubt. We have a hope. We have a sure expectation for the future. Every believer in Jesus Christ has that hope, that we will be resurrected someday. In verse 14, Paul continues on. He says, even so them which are asleep, that is, have died in Jesus, will God bring with them. The dead believers are going to be resurrected too, also. He's telling the Thessalonian Christians, brethren, you don't have to worry about your loved ones. You don't have to worry of the fact when they have died and gone on heaven to be with the Lord. They will be resurrected again someday. The reason that they're going to be resurrected again someday is because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was resurrected from the dead. He is the first fruits of those that are resurrected from the dead. And since Christ was resurrected, your loved ones and you yourself will be resurrected again someday. And he continues that in verse 15. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Paul is in verse 15, he's saying, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is an authoritative announcement by the Apostle Paul. He's not saying, you know, brethren, here's a little fantasy fairy tale for you I've got. Here's a little story, a fictional story that I've got. Paul's not saying that. Paul is saying, by the word of the Lord.
There are people out there who don't believe that God is going to take all the believers in Christ, the dead believers and living believers, that they don't believe that God can do that. God will do that. But Paul is saying, by the word of the Lord. See, the word of the Lord gives Paul authority. And we know that God, if he is omnipotent, if he is the powerful, all-powerful God that we know, that we serve, he has the power, he has the authority to resurrect people from the dead. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and we will be too. By the word of the Lord, I'm telling you this, in verse 15. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now that word prevent, in the King James, means proceed. You can read it that unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. In other words, the living Christians have no advantage over the dead Christians at the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, all the dead Christians are going to be resurrected, and the living Christians are going to have new bodies. Living Christians are not going to be resurrected. They're already living. The living Christians will be provided a new and glorified body, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But you notice the progression here in verse 14, that from verse 14 to verse 15, and we see that Paul is finally saying in verse 15 that those who are dead, the dead Christians, have no advantage, or the living Christians have no advantage over the dead Christians when the Lord comes. Okay. And in verse 16 and 17, if we look at verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Not an angel, not a substitute, not someone else, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself will descend from heaven. He is coming down from heaven in verse 16. And there are three sounds found in verse 16 that we're going to hear, and I really do believe that we are going to hear. There are three sounds found here in verse 16 that we'll hear when the Lord Jesus Christ himself descends from heaven. He will descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. You know, when you shout, I'm not going to shout in the microphone. That might wake some of you up, and we don't want to do that. But I'm being rather sarcastic. But, you know, a shout, you know, you yell. I mean, when you shout, you yell, say, hey, you know, at the top of your voice, as loud as you can. That's a shout. We understand that to be a shout. Now, this shout is going to be something we've never heard before. I don't know. Have you ever heard the Lord shout at you? I haven't. But we'll hear a shout. Now, some Bible commentator says it's the voice of one of the angels, but I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord himself will be shouting. It will be his shout. It would be almost like a command that the Lord is giving in verse 16. That he will be commanding the dead Christians to rise from the dead. A command. We also see in verse 16 that he'll descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of an archangel. Have you ever talked to an archangel before? I talked to Michael right here, but he's not an archangel. He's just Michael Madsen. And I'm picking on Michael. Well, somebody's got to, so it might as well be me. But, you know, of course, Michael and Gabriel are two of the archangels that are mentioned in the scriptures, you know, and we're familiar with them and what they have done in the Word of God, in the Bible. But I've never heard the voice of an archangel, but on that day when the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven, he'll descend from heaven with a shout with the voice of an archangel. Now, some Bible commentators think that the archangel is going to provide a military escort to accompany the Lord and his Christians and the Christians through enemy territory to heaven. You know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But it really doesn't say that. I think that's basically speculation on some Bible commentators' part. So we can't be sure of that. But we can be sure that when that archangel sounds, when we hear his voice, when we hear that voice of the archangel, we will recognize it as the Lord descending from heaven. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and also in verse 16, with the trump or the trumpet of God. The trumpet of God. Now, I've seen a trumpet. I understand what a trumpet sounds like. You know I've heard a trumpet. You've seen it. Maybe you've played a trumpet. I don't know if you've played a musical instrument. But we understand the earthly trumpet. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it's referred to as the last trumpet or the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15. But it's the trumpet of God that are calling the believers home, the dead Christians, the living Christians. They're going to hear we're going to hear the shout. We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to hear the trumpet of God. Now, we don't know what these sounds are like. But when they do sound, we'll know. We'll know. We'll know. That the Lord has descended from heaven. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And Paul says at the end of verse 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ. It's getting really exciting now. I hope it's getting exciting for you. In verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise. Now that word rise doesn't mean they're going to, at this point, they're going to rise in the air yet. No, that word rise means they're going to be resurrected from the dead. And you're going to be, and you say, well, wait a minute, how is God going to do this? Does that mean all the graves are going to open up and all the dirt's going to be thrown away and the casket's going to be flying open and people are going to be jumping out of the... Well, you know, I don't know. The scriptures don't reveal that. There are details in here in the scriptures that God has seen fit not to tell us. You know, I don't know if all that stuff is going to happen. The graves are going to open. They may, you know. But the scriptures don't tell us clearly what's going to happen. But we do know in verse 16 that all the dead Christians who are in the grave, their bodies, their physical bodies, are going to be resurrected from the dead. All the Christians that are buried out here in the cemeteries in Durham and in this state, in this country, in this world, their physical bodies are going to be resurrected from the dead when the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead Christians are going to be resurrected from their grave. They're going to get new bodies. It's like being asleep. It's like, you know, when you're asleep, you're going to hopefully wake up. Well, that's what these dead Christians, they've been in the grave. They've been asleep for all these years, and they're going to be waked up on that resurrection day when those bodies are taken out of the grave. And some of us know some of those believers out there in the cemetery. Some of them are our family members. Some of them are our good, dear friends. Some of them we've known for years, and they died some years ago, and they've gone on to heaven. Their soul and spirit have gone to heaven to be with the Lord. But their body is out there in the cemetery. They've been buried. But when the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven, he will resurrect those dead bodies in the cemetery, in the grave, and they will have a new body, a new glorified body. Questions may arise. Well, wait a minute. What about all those people, all those Christians who died, and there's no remains, you know? There's no physical, there's nothing there. You know, what about them? Well, another detail that God has not seen fit to reveal to us. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God is going to put all the molecules together. He'll put everything together. And the Christians that have died in the past, even though they have no physical remains, they're going to be resurrected too. Because at the end of verse 16, the dead in Christ shall rise. Not a few of the dead in Christ, not the remains that we know about of the dead in Christ are going to rise. All the dead in Christ are going to rise. Every single one of them are going to rise from the grave on that resurrection day when the Lord descends from heaven. In verse 17, then we which are alive and remain. Interesting. I'll stop right there just for a minute. Then we who are alive, you know, it's interesting. I thought about this. What about the perspective of the people who are not Christians? And this occurs, well, from their point of view, from their perspective, I wonder what's going to be going on. You know, I was talking to my friend Gibby White the other day. And you know, he just talks about Jesus all the time. He was just talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus this, and Jesus that. That's all he talked to me about. while I was talking to him right now, all of a sudden he started going up in the air. I said, where are you going? And he disappeared right in front of my eyes. I couldn't believe it. I was at a traffic light and I saw this lady in the car. I looked at her, then I looked at the light, then I looked back at her. She was gone. You know? Me and my wife, we went to bed last night, and when I woke up in the morning, she was gone. I looked all over the neighborhood for her. I couldn't find her. I called her friends and relatives and neighbors, and they didn't know where she was. Finally, I called the police department, say my wife is missing. They said they can't help me. They've had thousands of people call in to tell them there are people all over the city that are missing, and it can't be accounted for. You see the perspective here of the people who are not going to heaven to be with the Lord. They're going to be left behind here on earth to endure the wrath and judgment of God. But we who are alive, we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, that phrase, caught up, come in the Latin, or the Vulgate. The Vulgate is the Latin translation of the Bible. That's where we get our word rapture from. Okay? Caught up. The word caught up literally means to snatch or seize. It's like a sudden violent taking away. It's like being swept up into the air by a tornado. And you've seen tornadoes in a movie. That's the only tornado I've seen, I think. But you know, you've heard about tornadoes when they come, and the tornado is a powerful storm. Extremely powerful. And it'll come along, and it'll pick up trucks and cars, houses, trees, people. It will pick them up and relocate them and throw them on the ground. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, when he descends from heaven with a shout, all the dead believers, all the dead Christians in the grave, they're going to rise from the grave. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to get new bodies. We who are alive and remain, we will be caught up. We will be snatched. We will be seized. We will be swept up like a tornado to be caught up with them, Paul says in verse 17, in the clouds. Now, when the Lord comes, and you know, we're going through our daily activities, we're doing this and doing that, and we hear those sounds. We hear the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. We hear those sounds, and when that occurs, we're going to start going up in there. It's kind of like, you know, that story I told about Gibby going up in there. And I'm glad that Gibby's going up there. I'll be that with you. But you see, when that occurs, when we're caught up together with them, we're going up into the clouds. Now, the clouds are right above the earth. You know, we can see the clouds fairly easily. You know, all these millions of people around the world are going up into the clouds. And by the way, from the perspective of the people who are left behind here on earth, you know, that's going to be an incredible event. You know that? Millions of people all over the world are going to disappear all at the same time. Simultaneously is the word. And you know what a catastrophe that's going to be for the world. I can see CNN, Fox News, and ABC, CBS News, and they'll be on the air, and they'll be there. I bet you they'll be on there 24 hours a day trying to explain this thing. Well, we have our expert from Harvard University here to explain the sudden, all these people, sudden disappearance of all these people. I'm sure they could explain it real well, couldn't they? All they have to do is come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and they can read all about it. But from the perspective of the non-Christian, unsaved people who are left behind here on earth, this will be an incredible catastrophe. This will be millions of people, they're gone. They're gone. But we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now, the resurrected Christians, the formerly dead Christians who are resurrected are going up into the air. The people, the Christians who are alive and remain will be going up air into the air. We'll be caught up together with them going up into the air, into the clouds. And it says in verse 17, to meet the Lord. To meet the Lord in the air. We'll all be there together. The living Christians, the formerly dead Christians who have gotten new bodies will be caught up together, and we'll be going up into the air. Now, something's going to happen to us as living the living Christians who are being snatched up, who are being raptured up. When we go up there to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, something's going to have to happen to our bodies, because our flesh and blood bodies wouldn't survive something like that. We'll be given new bodies. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul describes them as imperishable bodies, bodies that will live forever, that will never get sick and diseased, that will never get old, never wear out, never get arthritis. We'll have these bodies with us. We'll be clothed in those bodies. Our flesh and blood bodies will be transformed into these wonderful, new, glorious bodies we'll have as we go up in the air and meet the Lord. Meet the Lord in the air. And we'll see all those people that we knew, all those loved ones, our parents, our children, our grandparents, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our good, dear, close friends. We'll see this. They'll be there. We haven't got there yet. We haven't gotten there yet, brothers and sisters in Christ, but we will. We will. I'm sorry. I was hoping I wouldn't do this. But we miss, don't we? We miss those people. But we'll see them again. We'll see them. We will. That's a promise that God has made to us. We'll meet the Lord. We'll meet them in the air with the Lord on that day. And it says in verse 17, at the end of verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? So shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another with these words. I remember our dear brother James Leathers. Most of you remember him. On Sunday morning, when I shook his hands, the first thing out of his mouth, he said, perhaps today. James was looking for the coming of the Lord. He'll be there with Maxine, his dear wife. We'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a great hope. We have a great hope. William MacDonald said about verse 18, he said, thoughts of the Lord's coming do not produce terror for the believer. It is a hope that thrills, cheers, and comforts. It thrills, cheers, and comforts. And you know, that's a great thing. It's great when we walk out that door this morning, it'll be great to know that you and I have a sure expectation. We have a blessed hope that we can look forward to. How wonderful that is. But I have a question this morning. I want to ask you this question. And I want you to consider it seriously before God. If the Lord Jesus Christ would, when he descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, when all the dead Christians are resurrected, when all the living Christians are taken up, caught up, and going up into the air to meet the Lord in heaven, the question I have for you, will you be there? Will you be there? Think about that. Think about that. You know, from the perspective of the, we touched on that, from the perspective of the unsaved, non-Christian people in the world, it's going to be a horrible, terrible, unbelievable, incredible experience for the next 7 years to be living in this world. And I want to ask you, have you believed, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? They're the only ones that are going to be caught up together with the believers in there. true believers, those who have believed in and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're the only ones who will be going up to meet the Lord in the air. There won't be anybody else. There won't be any Hindus there. There won't be any Muslims there. There won't be any Buddhists there. The only ones who will be there are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have trusted in the Lord Jesus. People who have admitted to God that they are sinners before God and have come to the cross and believe that Jesus died for their sins on the cross. And by faith, I accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Only the ones who have done that are going to be caught up to be caught up with the Lord in heaven to go to be with the Lord. There won't be anybody else there. The question is, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? When the Lord comes, are you going up into the air to be with Him? Are you going to be one of the ones caught up, seized or snatched, swept away like a tornado, like a tornado? Are you going to be like those ones who are you going to be the one among those who are going up into heaven? If you're not, you need to make a decision this morning, one way or the other, of what you're going to do. Are you going to trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior or not? Are you going to continue to reject Him as your Savior and be left behind when this great, incredible event occurs? If you do, the probabilities of you living through that 7 year tribulation period are pretty slim. Because if you read the scriptures, billions of people around the world are going to die during the 7 year period. Chances are you'll be among them if you're left behind. I hope and pray this morning that each one of us here in the auditorium has made that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him, to believe in Him as our Savior, that He was the man, He was the one who went to the cross and died and paid the penalty for our sins in full. And by believing and trusting in Him, God will give us eternal life and He will forgive your sins. All of them. And when the Lord comes, you will be going up to heaven to be with Him. Now the scriptures don't say when the Lord is going to come. That's the big question on everybody's mind. We believe in the imminent return. That word imminent means at any time the Lord Jesus could come. It could be today, as Brother James Leathers used to say. Perhaps today. And if He comes today, you know, I would hate to think that you're going to be left behind on earth to endure the wrath and judgment of God upon the people of this world. It'll be a horrible, terrible time. That's what the Word of God says. That's not what Earl White says. That's what the Scriptures say. It'll be a horrible, terrible time. The chances of you surviving that time are very slim. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in Him today, my dear friend. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Because it may be too late. The Lord may come during that time. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him now. Trust Him today. Today. Right now. Where you're sitting. Admit to God that you're a sinner, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross. And trust the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, that He personally died for your sins on that cross. Believe in Him and trust Him today. I hope that you will. I hope that you will. For those of us who are saved, who already know the Lord, you know, we have a wonderful hope. We have a sure expectation. We have a blessed hope waiting for us in the future. We can be assured when the Lord comes, brother or sister in Christ, we're going up there to be with the Lord. And we'll forever, forever be with our blessed Savior. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God and this passage which means so much to our hearts, Heavenly Father. And we just thank You that You've given us hope for the future, that those ones whom we love, those ones who are family members and friends and people that we still remember because we love them so much. We thank you, Father, that we have hope for the future, that those ones who have died in Christ will be resurrected again someday. We have your sure word for that, Heavenly Father. We believe that by faith and accept it by faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this word, your truth, to let us know, to encourage us, and that we do have a hope for the future. And we know, Heavenly Father, that this encouragement, this hope for the future, comes from none other than our wonderful, blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for all of us to be here this morning. We look for his return, Father. We are waiting expectantly, Lord, that you will come again. And we pray for these things in the name and for the sake of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.